Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Lilui Nishmas and Lezecha Nishmas of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak Alaha HaShalom, her Neshama Shel Haven Aliyah, the merit of our Torah learning. We are on the top of page 204, please. So I don't know if everyone remembers, but last time we spoke about that the Gemara says if you do something nice for a child, you should tell their mother because it endears the relationship. And he specifically mentioned someone putting out a glass of water. And I said that I might Ohel class in Farakwe, Parsh class for senior, someone leaves me a glass of water and I don't know who it is. And really, Chazal say you should let the person know. You shouldn't be so humble because it engenders friendship. So this week when I sat down, I said, listen, I want to know who puts out this water because Chazal say you're supposed to tell the person because it increases the feelings of Ahavas Yisrael. So Baruch Hashem, I know who it is. So now I could thank her personally. So let's just start so we don't start in the middle of a paragraph. Let's just go to the bottom of page 203. We spoke about Rei Achav, Rei Avicha Al Tazov. We're not going to repeat everything that we said last time. To imagine, understand this. Imagine a young man sitting at a table. Someone brings him a glass of water drink. We mentioned you. Before he has a chance to know who gave it to him, the benefactor disappears. Because what I said is that Esther goes on, I'm able to say thank you. In that class, I don't know who it's from, and I need to tell them, so now I know. He recognizes the fact that someone gave him the water. He's grateful, but he's in the darkest of the identity of the benefactor. Therefore, at this point, he has no one on whom to focus his love. So it's just an important Mr. Haskell. You shouldn't be so humble that, whatever, forget bringing water, whatever the favor you do for somebody or their children, you should actually let them know because you want to increase Ahavas Yisrael. So remember, this is a topic on loving Hashem. So we always say that we can understand our relationship vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, lahavdil, vis-a-vis our relationship between man and fellow man. Knesset Yisrael were married to God, so to speak, at Har Sinai. So marriage teaches us about Ahavas Hashem. We are the children, Banim Atam LaHashem Elokeichem. So the relationship between parent and child teaches us about our relationship between us and Hashem. Hashem is called Rei Av, Rei Avicha, like we brought up last time, Shani. So friendships teach us about our relationship with Hashem. So everything, all relationships in the human realm teach us about our relationships with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this is the topic of loving Hashem. So if you do something good for someone, you should tell them what you did for them. Why not? Because you're a Baal Gaiva. It engenders love. Similarly, a person sees a glass of water on the table. This is due. He mistakenly assumes he put it there himself 5 minutes prior. I know that sounds a little wacky, but it could happen that you become for blunted and you forget what you're doing. And maybe, you know, you start to doubt, did I put that there? Did someone else put that there? It happens. Here, he certainly has no love for the one who brought the water. He doesn't even realize someone else brought it to him. Thus, there are two levels of recognition. First, one must first realize someone other than himself did him a favor. So today I was just visiting someone today and I took them a muffin. And literally 5 minutes later, I said, where's the muffin? And we were looking on the tray and we couldn't find the muffin. And then the other person realized, she says, you put it by the windowsill so it would defrost in the sun. This is like mamish, this just happened to me. It's possible that you're so busy and you're writing, you're doing. And I really said, where's the muffin? And I totally forgot that 3 minutes earlier, I'm not that old, I know. I know, what should I do? 3 minutes before, I put it by the windowsill in the sun. You have advice, Daphne? Sorry, you saying something? What did she say?
You'll be prepared.
We should all be Admei Versum Shana in Yamichus Yamim Shana in good health. There are two levels of recognition. So I come on to this. It happened to me today. When I first realized someone other than himself did a favor, recognize what you did and what you didn't do, where you put it, where you didn't put it. Was it me or someone else? And two, he must know the identity of the benefactor. Without these two conditions, we lack the basis for conditional love. So what's the point? If you don't recognize that Hashem did something for you, so you are deficient in Ahavas Hashem. If you think, which he's going to go on to say, that you did it for yourself, then what's the problem? How could you love God? How could you appreciate God? If you think, and he's going to quote it, if I made myself all this, my house is by the power of my hands. That's exactly what the psukim say in Devarim. Exactly that lashon. You sit in nice houses you didn't build, but you think I did it. You don't even remember who put the water in front of you. You don't even remember where the mafazin is. You think you did it, but someone else did it, so there's no love. Hence, if you want to develop conditional love for Hashem, you must first realize a human being on his own has nothing. You must then realize all you have is from Hashem. You must remember Hashem, your God, is the one who gives you strength. If you look at the footnote, we're going to be looking at the pasuk very shortly inside. Hashem gives you the strength to do all that we do. I'm not quoting it in Hebrew because you're going to see it inside momentarily. To illustrate, a person buys an apartment for a certain amount. Over the years, the price doubles. He feels that through his own intelligence or his good fortune, perhaps his mazel, he became wealthy. Maybe he's very smart. Maybe he knows how to invest. Maybe he realized it was a good property to buy. And then in 10 years it doubles. He's mistaken. Targum Onkelos on the pasuk above renders, you must remember Hashem your God is the one who advises you to acquire property. Welcome. Even if a person puts forth effort, and so you do ishtal this, and it seems that the benefit came because he purchased something, and the price was, the truth is, Hashem is the one who ensured he would profit to that particular extent. So we're going to be looking at some sources on this pasuk. I think, I hope, Hashem, I have enough. You must share with the person next to you, so make sure you're sitting next to someone so that you can please share. So the point is, Lamaisa, to recognize that everything we have and everything we don't have is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he just quoted a pasuk from Devarim, Parak Chas. It gives it to you on the footnote, page 204, footnote 4. Parak Chas, pasuk Yod Chas. I'm just going to go back. It's one of the most, I find it a very evocative parak. I shouldn't say one of the most beautiful prakim, because all prakim are the most beautiful. However, it's very powerful. I'm going to just begin by quoting from, it's in Devarim. Did I write Devarim?
Yeah.
Parak Chas, pasuk Yod Chas. That's the pasuk that our sefer quotes. I'm just going back to verse 10, pasuk yud. Okay, va'achalta. What's parak chas pasuk yud? Va'achalta. We learned this, I think, last year. Va'achalta in depth. Va'achalta v'savato ve'rachtos Hashem elkecha. You will eat. You will be satiated. You will bless Hashem your God for the good land that He gave you. And then the very next thing, the pasuk. What's the problem when a person is v'savata, when you become satiated? Too often, what happens when a person is satiated? I can't hear. Oh, that's exactly. So later in Devarim, in Ha'azinu, when Yeshurun, when Israel becomes fat, they kick. When Vayishman Yeshurun Vayiva, Yeshurun becomes fat and kicks, it means that when Knesset Israel has so much, sometimes when a person is too much, they rebel, they kick, they forget who Taka put the bottle of water in front of them. So the very next words, after you will eat and you will be satiated, He shamer lecha. You're not in your handle yet. I'll tell you when you're getting there. I'm in Devarim Perek Yud Aleph. He shamer lecha. Be very careful. Pen tishkach as Hashem elkecha. You think you put the water down on the table in front of you. You can't even be grateful to God. You can't love God. You can't love the one, the beneficiary, who gave it to you. Why not? Because you think you did it yourself. Levilti. I said it wrong. The giver, levilti shmar mitzvosav, you will stop guarding his mitzvos, umishpatav, and his mishpatim, v'chukosav, and his chukim, asher anochi mitzav chayam, pen tochal v'savata, lest you eat and be satiated, uvatim tovim tivne, v'yashavta, and you will live in nice, comfortable homes, uvakarcha v'tzoncha yirbiyun, and you will have many flocks and animals, v'kesef v'zav yirbalach. Did you listen to Parsha yet this week? And silver and gold you will have so much of. And you will become very materialistically wealthy. And what is the danger? V'ram levavecha. Your heart from Rome, elevated, but not in a positive way. Your heart will become haughty. V'shachachta es Hashem elokecha. What does Rashi say? V'tishkach ki eved hayisa b'shvivilus lev. You will forget that you were ever we're in the parashas of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You will become so wealthy that you will forget. You know, they say a wealthy person should not forget their origins, or it's like a compliment. When a person becomes wealthy, they say they never forgot where they came from. The Torah says, Rashi says, you have to be very careful. V'tishkach ki eved hayisa. Don't forget that you were once a slave, b'shvivilus lev, with lowliness, shafel lev of the heart. V'tishkach ha'inui v'hara v'atzama. You will forget the oppression and the hunger and the thirst. And what happens when you forget Hashem? You forget that you're indebted to God. You forget hamolichicha b'midbar hagadol v'nora. You forget He led you through the desert with snakes and fiery serpents and thirst where you didn't have water. He took you water out of a rock. He gave you man in the desert. You never knew this. Your fathers never knew this, in order to afflict you, to test you, so it will be good for you in the end. The amarta bilvavecha. We're coming up to our pasuk momentarily. The amarta bilvavecha. You will say in your heart, what becomes the problem when a person has too much gashmius? That was really our whole parshas year. It's very difficult to remember. The Torah warns us, b'feirush, this isn't drash, this is a pasha pshat. You have too much and you think you put down your own cup of water. And you say, wow, the power, the strength, the might of my own hand made me all this wealth. Now we come to pasuk Yud Ches, which is what our sefer quoted. So please look on your handout, please. Does everyone have a paper or to look on with somebody else? Yeah, okay. V'zacharta es Hashem Elokecha. You shall remember Hashem your God. Ki hu hanosein lecha koach. He is the one who gives you strength. La'asos chayil, to make all this wealth. L'man hakim es briso, in order to establish, to uphold his covenant. Asher nishba levasecha, that he swore to your forefathers. Kayam hazeh, like this day. What's the first verse I gave you? Unklos, so let's look at unklos. Unklos is Aramaic. But if you remember, if not, you could look back in the Sefer, the last paragraph on page 204 quotes the Targum on this pasuk. So let's look at the Targum inside in the Aramaic. Everyone with me, you know what we're talking about? Our Sefer quotes the Unklos in English. Let's look at it inside. V'tid karyas Hashem Elokecha. So it's interesting. Zachar and Zahav start with a Zayin in Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon HaTorah. In Aramaic, the Zayin becomes a Dalet. So if you see Dalet Chav Reish, and the translation is Zahav, no, it just, that's Zachar. Dalet Hey Vez is Zahav in Aramaic. Similarly, Zacharta becomes a Dalet instead of a Zayin. Okay. V'tid kar yas Hashem Elokach. You must remember Hashem your God. Arehu yahev lach. Hashleich al Hashem yahavecha. Hu yahev lach. He provides for you. Eitza advice lemikne nechisin. So that's exactly what you had in our Sefer. It is God who gives you the design, the advice, the wisdom in order to mikne, liknot, to buy, in order to buy all your possessions. So on bottom of page 204 in our Sefer, that's exactly what the Sefer says. You must remember Hashem is your God, the one who advises you to acquire property. You think you're so smart, you bought the right stock. I know nothing about the stock market. You think you're so smart, you bought the building in the right, I know nothing about buying buildings either, in the right neighborhood. And now it tripled and now it doubled. So v'tid kar yaso shavakach, you remember Hashem your God, arehu yahev lach etza, because it is He who gives you the advice, who gives you the wisdom and the abilities and the capabilities, lemikne nechisin, lemikne from liknot, to buy, nechisin, our nechasim, our property. He is the one who gives you the advice to buy property. So do not think, b'dil l'kayim ayas kamedi kayim la'ah, Vahasach, in order to establish the covenant with your forefathers like this day. So Unklos here is important. Don't think you acquired that because you're so smart. God gave you. He gave you the wisdom. What's next on your hand? The Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban. I'm talking very fast. Everyone with me? Yikes. Look at the Ramban, please. So the Ramban says, V'zacharta Hashem Elokecha, ki hu hanosein lecha koach la'asos chayal. Yadua. What is it, Sarfam? Because I don't have a handle. I'm just looking in the Chumash. Okay. So Yadua ki Yisrael Giborim. It is known that Israel are mighty. Va'anshei chayel la'mechama, and mighty warriors for war. If anyone's learning with me, say for Yehoshua. So we have seen that Israel are mighty warriors for war, and we have seen that reality. We went in and we're going to conquer the land, and we are giborim, and we are anshei chayel la'mechama. Ki nimshalu la'arayos, because we were compared in Birkas Yaakov and Birkas Moshe to lions. This is one of the things that the midwife said. When Paro says, why did you keep the boys alive? What did the midwife say? Chayosena, the Jewish women are like animals. When we come there, they already gave birth. Animals don't need midwives. They were compared in the brachos of Yaakov to animals. Animals don't call a midwife. Kinim shalula arayos. They were compared to lions. Vilizeev yitrof. And like a wolf, they tear. Ulamanche knan b'mecham. And it's chosem. Oh, so let's talk about what we just learned in Sefer Yehoshua. And against the kings of Canaan in war, the Israelites won them. Okay, so what's the problem? If we are mighty warriors, then what might we think? Who won the battle? I won the battle. Did I make this up? Maybe I shouldn't. Did I make this up? Whatever. We can't trust, of course we do a shtadlus, but we don't put our trust in mortals and in an army. We put our trust in Hashem, who gives us the strength. But we have to remember where the strength comes from. Al kein amar. Therefore, it says, im tachshuv kochi ve'otzem yadi asali asachayel azeh. If you will think the strength and might of my hand made me all this wealth, tizkar Hashem. What should you do? Is anyone with me? Should I tell you what line I'm up to? Tizkor Hashem, you should remember Hashem, Shehotzi Ozcham in Mitzrayim. He took you out of Egypt. V'lo ayer l'chasham koch v'otzem yad klal. These are the parshios of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is there the juxtaposition of, remember I quoted you the Pesukim. The Pasuk says, V'ram l'vavecha, Pasuk Yudal, your heart will become elevated or haughty. V'shachachta s'Hashem l'okecha, you forget Hashem God. Verse 14, not on your handout. Hamotzi acham me'eretz Mitzrayim. You base avadim. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu say, don't forget God when it's so good for you and you're so strong? And also, not only shouldn't you forget God, but you shouldn't forget who took you out of Egypt. What's the connection between don't forget Egypt and remember the Ribono Shel Olam? Well, there's a strong connection, says the Ramban. Remember Egypt when you couldn't what? Defend yourself for all the tea in China, or all I should say, the Kishuf in Ofarayim. Don't forget the Ribono Shel Olam, because in Egypt, lo haya lechach sham kolach v'otzem yad klal, you had nothing. You weren't warriors. You weren't Yeshua's army. You weren't the IDF army. You were nothing. You were no army. You were enslaved. You were beaten. There were taskmasters. You were being thrown into the river. So when your heart becomes so haughty, in other words, like we say today, don't forget your origins. When a person becomes so great, a compliment is to say they didn't forget where they came from. Don't forget where you came from. Where did you come from? Slavery in Egypt, where you couldn't defend yourself for anything in the world. And furthermore, you should remember, because what does the Pasuk say in verse 15? Right after it says, remember Egypt, it says, God led you through this great and awesome desert with snakes and scorpions and thirst, says the Ramban. You should remember further. What else should you remember? That you traveled through a desert, a barren wilderness, without water, with snakes, with scorpions, without food. Did you provide for yourself? You think you're so great? Who provided for you? There was no power in your hand. Ein la'el yadech. It's not referring to God. It means there's no power in your hand. Lichyos. You couldn't even live in that desert. You can't ask for 5 minutes in the desert. Also, the chokot tzarkecha. But he made you everything that you needed. Is it any different when you're out of the desert? Or is it any different when you're out of Egypt? You have to remember who is the provider. Im kein. Therefore, could I see something, please, on this handout for a moment? I'm on the second to last line of the Ramban. Thank you. Im kein, therefore, gam hachayil hazeh, also this wealth, asher asisa bichochacha, that you did with your ishtadus in Egypt, you couldn't do anything. And in the midbar, you also couldn't do anything. But now, you're actually putting forth the power and strength of your hand. You have to remember that even with this wealth, Hashem hu shenasa nechaha koach, it is Hashem who gave you the power, kasher asisa oso. Like you did it. Asher asisa oso, like you did it. It comes from God. The imtish kachas Hashem. And what happens if you forget Hashem? He sends us reminders in not pleasant ways. Imtish kachas Hashem. Yichla kochacha usheirecha. Your strength and your sustenance will be finished. Yichla, like chilion means to be, you know, cut off, finished. V'tovad, you will be lost. Kasher avdu heim ki kol ozvei Hashem yichlu. It's a paraphrase from Yeshayahu, Perek Alpas of Chavches. All those who leave God will be finished off. So the Ramban says, what is the connection between your heart will become haughty? When it becomes haughty, remember Egypt. Your heart will become haughty. Remember the desert. The connection is that just like we couldn't provide for ourselves in Egypt, and just like we could not provide for ourselves in the desert, just because we're providing for ourselves now, it's an illusion. Remember the introduction to Kapitol Mem Tes and Tehillim by Feldheim said that man relies on his wealth, but it is only illusory. It's all from the Ribono Shel Olam. So when you feel haughtiness in your heart, maybe that's why we say Bechol Dor. I just thought of something. Maybe that's why it says, one of the reasons why it says Bechol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam Lerositz Atzma Ki Hilu Hu Yatzam Mimitzrayim. You actually left Egypt, because if you think that you left Egypt, you will always remember your humble origins. No matter how successful a person becomes, if they remember Egypt, they always remember that they cannot provide for themselves one thing. What's Egypt? In Lashon Kodesh Mitzrayim. What's Mitzrayim? Mitzarim, between the straits. There you were in a narrow place, so you know the expression, excuse me to use it, but there are no atheists in a foxhole. Then you remember God. What about what it's so good and it's wide for you and you're not in Mitzarim? Do you remember the Ribono Shel Olam? Now, who put out the water? Let's look at the Aruch Hayim. Is everything clear? I'm asking for side comments here. I want to get through the sources, but is everything clear? Is something not clear? It's clear? Okay, so hold your comments to the end of these sources, please. The Aruch Hayim says, does someone say something? V'zacharta es Hashem. Is that where it starts from? Okay. Perush, the interpretation or the meaning is, Shatzarich laseis libo, you need to pay attention with your heart. Al tovaso, to Hashem's goodness, you have to contemplate what's good in your life. Miha yishachavetz chaim ohev yamim, lir os tov. Sometimes we spend so much time focusing on what we lack, we forget to focus on what we have, that's good. Ki mehasham haisolo, everything you have came to you from God. V'davarze, in this matter, yirehu tamid, will arouse you always, lahakir boro, if you always focus on the good, and realize everything is from Hashem, you will become aroused always and consistently to recognize your Creator, the hashgachaso alav, and his hashgacha, his divine providence upon you. Look at that. What is the inroad? How does the Yetzer Hara make inroad? Because the beginning of the path of destruction of the Yetzer, of the man, is to cause you to forget that Hashem provides for you. And through this way, man will come to be lost. That is how you will be lost, as Zohar Chaim Kadosh. The source of all good is to recognize the source of all good. So, excuse me, the source of all disaster is when we forget the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'ulai, and perhaps. Ki lazeh samach ma'amar sh'achareze v'hayim sh'kolach tishkach. Perhaps that is why the pasuk says, okay, take a break. I have to read you the next pasuk. You have pasuk Yitches on the top of your handouts. I'm going to read you pasuk Yitches. The Ramban went back a few pesukim. The Ramban says, why do the previous pesukim refer to Mitzrayim and the desert? And he explained why. The Archaim is going to say, why does the following pasuk say as follows? You have pasuk Yitches. I'm going to read you pasuk Yitches. V'haya im shakolach tishkach. It will be if you will surely forget. As Hashem Elokech, Hashem your God. V'halach d'acharei Elohim achirim. What will happen when you forget Hashem? You will go after gods of others. V'avadotem, and you will worship them. V'yishtachavisa lahem, you will bow down to them. Ha'adosi b'chem hayom, I testify and call witness against you today, ki avod tovedun. What will happen if we stray after other gods? We say this every day in the Kriya Shema. We will be utterly lost. We will be utterly destroyed. So that's the pasuk that follows. I'm going to say it in English. It will be if you surely forget Hashem your God, and you go after gods of others, and you worship them, and you bow down to them. I testify against you today, you will surely be lost. Now let's go back to the Or HaChaim. Now he's going to talk about, I'm opening up the art school because I want to read you a footnote from here. It's very nice. It's on the newer side. Does anyone else have it? It's the Or HaChaim Art School Elucidated. Art School Or HaChaim Elucidated. I should say, you know, they have Rashi, Ramban, Baal Term. It's very, very nice. Art School just had a sale, like around Hanukkah time, so I ordered all the volumes that I was missing. Not just the translation, the footnotes are also very important. So let's go back inside to the Or HaChaim. V'ulai, and perhaps, that's not like, I don't work for them, that they need my endorsement anyway. I'm just recommending if anyone's interested. It's a good set. V'ulai, ki lazeh samach ma'amar shachareze, and perhaps this is why you have right after, v'haya im shachoach tishkach. It will be if you will surely forget. Perush, the interpretation being, im shachoach, if you forget what? Davar zeh shahashem hu hameitiv lecha. You forget that Hashem is the one who does? Good for you. Meitiv lecha, not just good. Hashem is the one who does good for you. It's hard. It's a struggle, especially when you're going through a difficult time. Whatever it is, everybody knows their own nisyonos. Sometimes you're going through multiple nisyonos. I was just reading in Rabbi Dr. Tursky, the rabbi in the nuns. Did I quote it from here last week already? Yeah. So I really enjoyed it very much. So he says he once got a blessing. You should have many worries. That doesn't mean you should have many worries.
You should be alive.
Say it again.
You should be alive.
That's also true. But if you only have one worry, this is what he said. I don't have to think about it. If you only have one worry, thank you. It means that worry is so all-encompassing, you don't have the brain power or the mind frame to think about anything else because you're so consumed with that nisayon, you have one major worry. If you have many worries in your life, it means you have a lot of little nisyonos, but nothing that's overtaking your life. I thought it was very interesting. That's Rabbi Dr. Tversky. I mean, I'm no one to not agree with him, so I just think that it is food for thought. I enjoyed the book so much. I was in the Judaica store Monday with the kids, and there's a new book that came out by him called Growing Up, and I bought it. You have it? You're smiling.
No.
Oh, he's 88, can I know? Maybe Esam Shani says you would think when one approaches 90, they've stopped growing up. He says, no, you're always growing up.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So let's go back to the Or Chaim. V'ulai ki lezeh samach. So I don't think you should wish anyone to have a lot of worries, but it's an interesting point. Ki lezeh samach ma'amar shachorei zevahaya im shacholach tishkach. If you forget, perush, interpretation being, im shacholach davar zeh shashem hu ameiti v'cha. If you forget this matter, what matter? God does good for you. Stop focusing only on your nisyonos and only on your worries. Look at the benefits in your life. Look at the wonders in your life. Look at the amazing things in your life. Sovcha shetishkach as Hashem. Look at what the Or Chaim just said. If you forget Hashem does good for you, in the end you will forget Hashem. V'sovcha, it'll get even worse. Lalachas acharei Elohim acherim. After you forget Hashem, what will you then do? Stray after gods of others. It won't be stum that you only in thought start to proverbially or thoughtfully worship gods of others. Ela b'maisa, that you will come to actual maisa, to actual worship of gods of others. Ka'amro, like the pasuk says, va'avadatem. You will not only go after gods of others, you will now worship them. Excuse me. Velo avoda she'eno misuyemis b'isur. We are not talking about avoda that means, one second please, that is, not only will you perform an act of worship that is not universally defined as forbidden idol worship. So this is why I want to read you the footnote. Listen please, the footnote says, one is generally liable, are you listening? One is generally liable for punishment for idol worship when? Only when he performs an act of service that is prescribed service of that idol. So in the Chumash we have Pa'ar. So the Gemara tells us that the Midianite woman said to the Israelite men, Lo makshim mimcha ela pi'ur. We are not asking anything from you except to go to the bathroom before this avodah zar. V'hu eino yodea shezeh. And he does not know that this is, I forgot the next word in the Gemara, the Lashon, but he does not know this is the worship. So the Midianite woman told the Israelite man, you just have to go to the bathroom before the idol. So he thought he was just going to the bathroom. It might be dirty, it might be not nice to go to the bathroom in front of her and in front of this idol, but he didn't know. He doesn't know that that's how you worship the idol. So generally you're liable for punishment for idol worship when one performs an act of service that is the prescribed service of that idol. So going to the bathroom before Pa'ar, that's how they worship that Avodah Zarah. So now, if you go to the bathroom before Pa'ar, you are Chayav. However, for example, one who throws stones at an idol is not liable. So if you throw stones at Pa'ar, are you liable?
No.
Why not? That's not the worship, exactly. The worship of Merkulis, it's not given in Hebrew, the footnotes are in English. Merkulis, a different avodah zarah. Merkulis. How do you worship that idol? You throw stones in front of that idol. So if you go to the bathroom in front of Merkulis and you throw stones at Pa'ar, are you chay? You might be chay for the halachta. For v'chokaseim lo se lechu, I don't know, I'm not passing anything. But are you chayav for being oved avodah zarah? No, because Pa'ar is going to the bathroom. Merkulis is throwing stones. If you switch the worship, you have not worshipped the idol in the way that is the prescribed way. There are, however, four universal acts of service for which one is liable for performing before any idol, and prostration is one of these. So any prostrating yourself on the floor before any idol, you're chayiv. Good? We understand? Don't ask me too many questions of avodah zarah. I don't know. Let's go back inside to the Or Chaim, though, please. The last line we read was, first he said, you're not going to only stray after God, but you're going to forget God. Then you're going to come to worship other gods. Not only walk after them, you're actually going to worship them. Not only in machshava, not only in thought, ela b'maisa. Look what do you understand how unbelievable this is? Just from not focusing on the blessing in my life, I'm not focusing on who put the water in front of me on the table, you're going to become a kofer tov, and then ultimately you could become a kofer bikra. I'm not saying this. Everyone listening to this share online could go look up this Or Chaim, like we're all looking inside. Look at the power of being a kofer tov. Perhaps that's what was so bad about Adam Arishon's sin. It's her fault. As Rashi says, he was totally kofer tov. I gave you a woman, so it will be good for you. Because that happens, you forget Hashem. You could actually come to be oved avodah zarah when you believe it's not God, but it's me. It's very scary. It's not just that you'll leave God in thought and worship idols in thought. You'll mamish perform the avoda. And we're not talking about an act of worship that is universally defined as forbidden. Now we understand. So we're not only talking about what universally defined as forbidden, such as prostration, Ella Vishtachavisa Lahem, Shahi Avoda Misuyamis Bisu Lachovo Dazar Shabolam. So we're not talking about the ones who are going to the bathroom. It's questionable you were Oved Avodazar or it's not. Throwing stones, it's questionable whether you were Oved Avodazar or not. You're gonna go so far that there will be no suffix. You're gonna prostrate. Now, are you chai for prostration before Avodazara? Yes, no matter if it's Merkilus or if it's Pa'ar or it's Haman who's wearing a gotchka around his neck. Mordechai lo yishtachaveh velo yichra. Why? Because if Mordechai would have been mishtachaveh, then according to all opinions, he is chaya for being oved avodah zarah. And that's what you're going to come to when the pasuk says in your test, alav yishtachavisa lahem. You will actually bow down. That is a worship that is b'chol panim, shum panim ve'oven. It's absolutely forbidden. Like the Gemara says in Masecha Sanhedrin, the one who prostrates before Merkilus is chayav for being oved avozar, even though that's not the regular worship. The regular worship of Merkilus is throwing stones. The regular worship of Pa'ar is using the bathroom. However, you bow down, now you're absolutely chayav, and that's what it could come to just from forgetting Hashem. Halamadata. Do you have halamadata?
Yes.
Halamadata. Thus you have learned. Shezchira zo gader gadol la'avodas Hashem. The pasuk you have, because this is a commentary to the Rechaim on pasuk Yidchas. Vizacharta Hashem elkecha. Who thinks they don't remember God? Of course I remember God. Who's not on this Madriga? We're on the Madriga of remembering the Ribbono Shel Olam. Halamadata. Look at this conclusion. This remembrance of what? This remembrance of Shabbos? That's not what it says. The remembrance of Yom Kippur? That's not what it says. The remembrance of Taras HaMishpacha? That's not what it says. You know what it says? Remember, we spoke about it years ago. The washing machine. Mamish a long time ago. Remember, we quoted Yitzchak Zilberstein from his Aleinu L'Shabeach. So somebody buys a washing machine, and it's not working, and it's fancy, and it's high efficiency, and you buy the right detergent, and you put in the clothing, and you read the instruction manual, and you figure out how to use it, and it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. I'm repeating it because some people who are here tonight were not here when we learned this years ago. So you call the manufacturer, and you call the warranty guy, and you call the repair guy, and finally you get someone to come down to your house, and he's checking. They're about to cart away the machine. And what do they say to you?
It's not plugged in.
It was never plugged in. So you could push every button under the sun, and you could, of course, put in the detergent pods, and you made sure to buy high-efficiency detergent, but you're not plugged in. The pasuk is saying something that's so pasha, but so dangerous if we forget. It doesn't say remember how many hours into a fleishix. It doesn't say remember if the Parmesan cheese is in this dish or not in this dish. Because if you forget that, says the Or HaChaim, you're going to come to Vehishtacha Visa to prostrate before Avodah Zarah. Shez Chirazu, and therefore this remembrance, is a gader gadol, a gader, a fence. It's a gray fence. The art school says safeguard. You put up a gader. It is a warning when you approach that fence. You realize, don't cross here. It's a gader gadol avodas Hashem umichesrona, and if you are lacking, yadichenu hasatan docha, the satan will push you mi madrega la madrega lamata mimena. When you forget the Ribbono Shel Olam and you remove this gader, which is a great gader to avodas Hashem, the lack of having this remembrance will allow the satan to come and push you lower and lower from one low level to another until Rachmana Litzlan, Pasuk Yotas, V'hayim Shecholach Tishkach, V'alachta Acharei Elohim Echeirim, V'avadatem, V'ashtachavisa. So you understand V'ashtachavisa? According to all opinions, you are Chaya for being Oved Avodah Zarah. I warn you today that you will be surely lost if you follow this path. Pasuk Chav, let me just finish. It's the last pasuk in the parak. You don't have it, I'm just going to read it to you. How will you be lost? Kogoyim asher Hashem ma'avid mipneichem. You'll be lost just like the nations that Hashem is causing to be destroyed before you. Kein tovidun. Why? Because the nations don't remember God. So you want to act like the nations? So Hashem will rachman al tzlan. Treat you like the nations. But derech shadam rotze lelech b'malichin oso. The nations don't remember me. They go to the bathroom before this one. They throw rocks at this one. And they bow down to this one. So you want to behave like them? So, okay. Im halachtem imi keri, af ani elechim echem b'chamas keri. That's how you walk with me. That's how I walk with you. Why? Ekev lo tishmun b'kol Hashem elkechem. Ayve. Yes. About what?
Not to forget what you went through, if you don't record it.
Yeah, like when they talk about a person who became successful, you say about them, they didn't forget their humble origins. Let's say a person becomes very rich. So it's a common saying. They did it, shows how much humility they have, that they never forget where they came from.
So it's so true. I see it so much. People alike situation, not just about money, but about anything. Someone gets married, someone has
large cat, whatever it is, they forget the sensitivities that they used to once be so upset about. So many times it happened, and to me, I marvel. I just can't believe it. So that's exactly what the Torah is saying, and that's why the Torah, according to the Ramban, and that's why the Ramban goes back. The Ramban says, why does the Torah say, don't forget Mitzrayim? Don't forget the desert. Because don't forget. That's why we're commanded to love the ger. You were a ger. Don't forget that you were in that position. So how could you not be sensitive to somebody else in that position? It's right in here. It's predicted, mamish, in here. And you see the consequences we went through. I'm not telling you. You saw Unklus. You saw the Aruch Chaim. You saw the Ramban inside. And it's an avoda we all have to work on. And if a person does not remember, they risk forgetting in a very dangerous way. Okay, so that's one thing. A person could certainly make a gratitude journal.
Like, I know somebody who, not just a gratitude journal, but to write down what you feel like now, before the good thing happens. So this way you'll know that you'll remember what it was like. Not in a way that makes you sad, but in a way that keeps you sensitive and in tune to other people.
It's very interesting because I have a friend who went through a very difficult time, a number of years ago. That time, I gave her a gift of a Tehillim with her name on the front, and I wrote, I don't even remember what I wrote. I wrote a whole inscription at the beginning. And you know, she just texted me the other month, and she's Baruch Hashem out of that situation. It was a very, very, difficult situation. And she said she still reads it. That's what you're saying. She says she reminds herself. She still reads it, and it gives her chizuk to see where she was, not to forget where she is now. So it's true. Everything you're saying is true. You have to have the wisdom to internalize it and the humility to remember and the courage to move forward while not forgetting upon whom, capital double, we are dependent and who gave us all this good and blessing in our life. Let's go on. Top of page 205. A person must first negate the notion that he helped himself, and he must realize Hashem is the source. That's what we just said. This needs thought, because it is human nature to attribute 95% of our success to ourselves. Yeah, it was God, but it was really me. Thank you, Hashem, but look how smart I am.
Like the story with the parking spot. Yeah. Like the famous story with the parking spot.
The parking spot. Never mind, I found one.
Very good. This needs thought, because it's the human nature, very good, to attribute 95% of our success to ourselves and only the other 5% to divine providence. I haven't quoted from her in a while. Hani machas Allah hashalom. Excuse me. Often they had no money to buy food to cook for Shabbos. Friday morning would arrive with both their coffers and their cupboards empty. Is this true? Hani would encourage her worried husband, Mordechai, did we ever cancel Shabbos? Do you ever remember it not working out? I'm on page 190. Sometimes people email me, they listen to Shir online, where's the source? So I'm giving it to you. Hani Machas, Amunah with Love and Chicken Soup, page 190. Once on Friday at 12:30, how's it possible? They didn't shop yet. They had no money and their credit cards were maxed out. Fearing the worst, Mordechai said, even if we get the money, all the supermarkets will be closed. Hani refused to give in to anxiety. I should spend a whole Friday worrying about how we'll make Shabbos, she said. Come on, Mordechai, it's going to work out. There was something great in Mishpacha this week. One line about why you shouldn't worry. Worry will not take away the problems of tomorrow, and it will ruin your tranquility of today. In other words, it's not going to solve your problems, and it's going to ruin your day. So what are you worried about the future for? I've been thinking about it this week. She quoted Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, that the same way you can borrow on future money that you know will be coming, you can borrow on future happiness that you know will be coming. Most people are sad when they have troubles. They're happy later when the matter is resolved. Rabbi Nachman advises, this is what we were just talking about, Rabbi Nachman advised that if you realize things will eventually be good, borrow on the future happiness. Be happy now. You're borrowing. You'll pay back God. You'll have so much happiness. You'll pay back. Henny, the irrepressible optimist, was confident that Hashem would somehow provide the funds to buy food to feed his children, as he had for thousands of previous Shabbosos. Standing in an empty kitchen at 12:30 on Friday.
Maybe it was in the summer. It wasn't in the
winter. But I would still be in a total panic. She borrowed on future happiness. This happened not once and not twice, Mordechai remembers. Rescue always came. After my Nautilus lecture today, they loved the Nautilus lecture. The first time ever in the middle of Shir, they started clapping in the middle of lecture. It was so cute. They loved it. Woman said, there's not enough tissues in my pocketbook for this Shia. And another woman said, do your children remember me? Tell them they have such a wonderful mother. I'm not saying anything about me. They just, it's an amazing place to be Zocha, to teach. One woman came over to me. I'm relating to this because the last thing I read to was rescue. I always came her Amuna. One woman came over to me. She said, I was taken to Auschwitz when I was 17 and a half from Hungary. A beautifully dressed woman. Older woman. She was taken to Auschwitz when she was 17 and a half in 19, we could actually probably figure out her age, in 1944, the day after Pesach. She says, I never gave up my Emuna. I always said, if you believe in Hashem, he will save you. She said, today I have children, I have grandchildren. This was Mama Shekhon, there was a woman listening, a younger woman who was visiting her father who was like tears in her eyes. She said, I have children, I have grandchildren, I have great-grandchildren. She said, Baruch Hashem, I have everything I need. She said, I came from Auschwitz when I was 17, and I never gave up believing in Hashem. So she told me today, there's a new resident whose daughter sometimes there, lecture time, she was listening also. It's a reminder, it's a chizak. Someone could go through a Gehenim that we should never know, that we can't imagine, that I don't even pretend to imagine. She could come away and say that. So what should I be focusing on? Where's my gedder? Zachartas Hashem Elokecha, Kihuna Senecha Koach. Rescue always came. Mordechai, emboldened by, the only reason I'm saying that is not because it says, I'm just reading from the book. Mordechai, emboldened by his wife's encouragement, either convinced someone to lend him the money, or he called former students in America and asked them to donate funds to sponsor Shabbos. It's true, you're saying. Armed with the distant donor's credit card number, Mordechai rushed to the only supermarket in Jerusalem that accepted a number instead of the actual card. As they were getting ready to close, he would rush through the aisles, tossing Shabbos supplies into his cart. On Friday night, he recalls, Henny would have a smile on her face. Why did you have to be so nervous? And the part that was astonishing is that to the public walking in, with the pots overflowing on the stove, no one would have believed that that morning there was nothing. So remember, you came from Mitzrayim, because what did we have in Mitzrayim? Nothing. And what do we have in the desert when we couldn't provide a piece of meat or a cup of water for ourselves? We had nothing. The only way to remember the Ribon Shel Olam is when it's so good and the pots are overflowing. Remember, in the morning there was nothing. But that lady said to me, I said at 17, she corrected me, she said 17 and a half. I heard her, I just said 17. 17 and a half. Rabbi Machas quotes the Medrash about two righteous people married to each other, and with this we will end. They divorced, and each one married a wicked person. I'm going to start from the beginning. Rabbi Machas quotes the Medrash, there were two righteous people married to each other. They divorced. That means it was a man and a woman married to each other. They're both righteous. They divorced. Each one married a wicked person. The righteous man married to the wicked woman became wicked. The wicked man married to the righteous woman became righteous. The Midrash concludes, Hakol min ha'isha. Everything is from the wife. Remembering his beloved wife, Rabbi Machas sums up and says, a very great percentage of my accomplishments are directly linked to Henny's love and support. And I will add, her faith. So Be'ezras Hashem, we should be zocha to always remember who puts a cup of water before us on the table. B'suras Tovos, everybody. Have a wonderful week.